no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now. You are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the third day of July. Welcome, everyone. It's a joy to be here with you on this third day into the second half of this year. We hit the book of 2 Kings yesterday, and we are going to be blazing through the kings of the southern kingdom of Israel and the northern kingdom of Israel. It is now split, two different kingdoms, and we're starting to see more and more prophets show up in the stories. These would be called the Old Testament prophets. And some of the books that we have yet to come to in the Old Testament are whole books of prophetic encounters. And these prophets are sent by God to warn the people, encourage the people, sometimes beg the people to turn from their wickedness and return to God. And despite what you know or have heard about prophecy, a lot of times we want the prophets to tell us good fortune, good things are coming. And boy, we learned early on in the Bible that if a prophet foretells the future and it does not occur, then they spoke in their own accord, not on behalf of God. And man, sometimes that lone voice, that prophetic voice sent by God that begs of the truth, they're just the least, most popular person. And we will go to great lengths to shut up the voice of God or deem it the voice of the enemy. And so we're going to jump in here today to 2 Kings chapters 5 through 8 and continue in the kings and witness these prophets showing up more and more in the reading. Today we read 2 Kings chapters 5 through 8, and just a couple days left in the contemporary English version. 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman was the commander of the Syrian army. The Lord had helped him and his troops defeat their enemies, so the king of Syria respected Naaman very much. Naaman was a brave soldier, but he had leprosy. One day, while the Syrian troops were raiding Israel, they captured a girl, and she became a servant of Naaman's wife. Sometime later, the girl said, "If your husband Naaman would go to the prophet in Samaria, he would be cured of his leprosy." When Naaman told the king what the girl had said, the king replied, "Go ahead, I will give you a letter to take to the king of Israel." Naaman left and took along 30,000 pieces of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 new outfits. He also carried the letter to the king of Israel. It said, "I am sending my servant Naaman to you. Would you cure him of his leprosy?" When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in fear and shouted, "That Syrian king believes I can cure this man of leprosy. Does he think I'm God with power over life and death? He must be trying to pick a fight with me." As soon as Elisha the prophet heard what had happened, he sent the Israelite king this message, "Why are you so afraid? Send the man to me so that he will know there is a prophet in Israel." Naaman left with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent someone outside to say to him, "Go wash 7 times in the Jordan River, then you'll be completely cured." But Naaman stormed off, grumbling, "Why couldn't he come and talk to me? I thought for sure he would stand in front of me and pray to the Lord his God, then wave his hand over my skin and cure me. What about the Abana River or the Pharpar River? Those rivers in Damascus are just as good as any river in Israel. I could have washed in them and been cured." His servants went over to him and said, "Sir, if the prophet had told you to do something difficult, you would have done it. So why don't you do what he said? Go wash and be cured." Naaman walked down to the Jordan. He waded out into the water and stooped down in it 7 times, just as Elisha had told him. At once he was cured, and his skin became as smooth as a child's. Naaman and his officials went back to Elisha. Naaman stood in front of him and announced, "Now I know that the God of Israel is the only God in the whole world. Sir, would you please accept a gift from me?" "I am a servant of the living Lord," Elisha answered, "and I swear that I will not take anything from you." Naaman kept begging, but Elisha kept refusing. Finally, Naaman said, "If you won't accept a gift, then please let me take home as much soil as 2 mules can pull in a wagon. Sir, from now on, I will offer sacrifices only to the Lord, but I pray that the Lord will forgive me when I go into the temple of the god Ramon and bow down there with the king of Syria." "Go on home and don't worry about that," Elisha replied. Then Naaman left. After Naaman had gone only a short distance, Gehazi said to himself, "Elisha let that Syrian off too easy. He should have taken Naaman's gift. I swear by the living Lord that I will talk to Naaman myself and get something from him." So he hurried after Naaman. When Naaman saw Gehazi running after him, he got out of his chariot to meet him. Naaman asked, "Is everything all right?" "Yes," Gehazi answered, "but my master has sent me to tell you about 2 young prophets from the hills of Ephraim. They came asking for help, and now Elisha wants to know if you would give them 3,000 pieces of silver and some new clothes." "Sure," Naaman replied, "but why don't you take twice that amount of silver?" He convinced Gehazi to take it all, then put the silver in 2 bags. He handed the bags and the clothes to his 2 servants, and they carried them for Gehazi. When they reached the hill where Gehazi lived, he took the bags from the servants and placed them in his house, then sent the men away. After they had gone, Gehazi went in and stood in front of Elisha, who asked, "Gehazi, where have you been?" "Nowhere, sir," Gehazi answered. Elisha asked, "Don't you know that my spirit was there when Naaman got out of his chariot to talk with you?" "Gehazi, you have no right to accept money or clothes, olive orchards or vineyards, sheep or cattle or servants. Because of what you've done, Naaman's leprosy will now be on you and your descendants forever." Suddenly Gehazi's skin became white with leprosy, and he left. One day the prophets said to Elisha, "The place where we meet with you is too small. Why don't we build a new meeting place near the Jordan River? Each of us could get some wood, then we could build it." "That's a good idea," Elisha replied. "Get started." "Aren't you going with us?" one of the prophets asked. "Yes, I'll go," Elisha answered, and he left with them. They went to the Jordan River and began chopping down trees. While one of the prophets was working, his axe head fell off and dropped into the water. "Oh," he shouted, "sir, I borrowed this axe." "Where did it fall in?" Elisha asked. The prophet pointed to the place, and Elisha cut a stick and threw it into the water at that spot. The axe head floated to the top of the water. "Now get it," Elisha told him, and the prophet reached in and grabbed it. Time after time, when the king of Syria was at war against the Israelites, he met with his officers and announced, "I've decided where we will set up camp." Each time, Elisha would send this warning to the king of Israel, "Don't go near there. That's where the Syrian troops have set up camp." So the king would warn the Israelite troops in that place to be on guard. The king of Syria was furious when he found out what was happening. He called in his officers and asked, "Which one of you has been telling the king of Israel our plans?" "None of us, your majesty," one of them answered. "It's an Israelite named Elisha. He's a prophet, so he can tell his king everything, even what you say in your own room." "Find out where he is," the king ordered. "I'll send soldiers to bring him here." They learned that Elisha was in the town of Dothan and reported it to the king. He ordered his best troops to go there with horses and chariots. They marched out during the night and surrounded the town. When Elisha's servant got up the next morning, he saw that Syrian troops had the town surrounded. "Sir, what are we going to do?" he asked. "Don't be afraid," Elisha answered. "There are more troops on our side than on theirs." Then he prayed, "Lord, please help him to see." And the Lord let the servant see that the hill was covered with fiery horses and flaming chariots all around Elisha. A As the Syrian army came closer, Elisha prayed, "Lord, make those soldiers blind." And the Lord blinded them with a bright light. Elisha told the enemy troops, "You've taken the wrong road and are in the wrong town. Follow me. I'll lead you to the man you're looking for." Elisha led them straight to the capital city of Samaria. When all the soldiers were inside the city, Elisha prayed, "Lord, now let them see again." The Lord let them see that they were standing in the middle of Samaria. The king of Israel saw them and asked Elisha, "Should I kill them, sir?" "No," Elisha answered. "You didn't capture these troops in battle, so you have no right to kill them. Instead, give them something to eat and drink and let them return to their leader." The king ordered a huge meal to be prepared for Syria's army, and when they finished eating, he let them go. For a while, the Syrian troops stopped invading Israel's territory. Sometime later, King Ben-Hadad of Syria called his entire army together. Then they marched to Samaria and attacked. They kept up the attack until there was nothing to eat in the city. In fact, a donkey's head cost 80 pieces of silver, and a small bowl of pigeon droppings cost 5 pieces of silver. One day, as the king of Israel was walking along the top of the city wall, a woman shouted to him, "Please, your majesty, help me." "Let the Lord help you," the king said. "Do you think I have grain or wine to give you?" Then he asked, "What's the matter anyway?" The woman answered, "Another woman and I were so hungry that we agreed to eat our sons. She said if we ate my son one day, we could eat hers the next day. So yesterday we cooked my son and ate him. But today when I went to her house to eat her son, she had hidden him." The king tore off his clothes in sorrow. And since he was on top of the city wall, the people saw that he was wearing sackcloth underneath. He said, "I pray that God will punish me terribly if Elisha's head is still on his shoulders by this time tomorrow." Then he sent a messenger to Elisha. Elisha was home at the time, and the important leaders of Israel were meeting with him. Even before the king's messenger arrived, Elisha told the leaders, "That murderer is sending someone to cut off my head. When you see him coming, shut the door and don't let him in. I'm sure the king himself will be right behind him." Before Elisha finished talking, the messenger came up and said, "The Lord has made all these terrible things happen to us. Why should I think he will help us now?" Elisha answered, "I have a message for you. The Lord promises that tomorrow here in Samaria, you will be able to buy a large sack of flour or 2 large sacks of barley for almost nothing." The chief officer there with the king replied, "I don't believe it. Even if the Lord sent a rainstorm, it couldn't produce that much grain by tomorrow." "You will see it happen, but you won't eat any of the food," Elisha warned him. About the same time, 4 men with leprosy were just outside the gate of Samaria. They said to each other, "Why should we sit here waiting to die? There's nothing left to eat in the city, so we would starve if we went inside. But if we stay out here, we will die for sure. Let's sneak over to the Syrian army camp and surrender. They might kill us, but they might not." That evening, the 4 men got up and left for the Syrian camp. As they walked toward the camp, the Lord caused the Syrian troops to hear what sounded like the roar of a huge cavalry. The soldiers said to each other, "Listen, the king of Israel must have hired Hittite and Egyptian troops to attack us. Let's get out of here." So they ran out of their camp that night, leaving their tents and horses and donkeys. When the 4 men with leprosy reached the edge of the Syrian camp, no one was there. They walked into one of the tents where they ate and drank before carrying off clothes as well as silver and gold. They hid all this, then walked into another tent. They took what they wanted and hid it too. They said to each other, "This isn't right. Today is a day to celebrate, and we haven't told anyone else what has happened. If we wait until morning, we will be punished. Let's go to the king's palace at once and tell the good news." They went up to Samaria and shouted up to the guards at the gate, "We've just come from the Syrian army camp and all the soldiers are gone. The tents are empty and the horses and donkeys are still tied up. We didn't see or hear anybody." The guards reported the news to the king's palace. The king got out of bed and said to his officers, "I know what those Syrians are doing. They know we're starving, so they're hiding in the fields, hoping we will go out to look for food. When we do, they can capture us and take over our city." One of his officers replied, "We have a few horses left. Why don't we let some men take 5 of them and go to the Syrian camp and see what's happening? We're going to die anyway, like those who have already died." They found 2 chariots, and the king commanded the men to find out what had happened to the Syrian troops. The men rode as far as the Jordan River. All along the way, they saw clothes and equipment that the Syrians had thrown away as they escaped. Then they went back to the king and told him what they had seen. At once, the people went to the Syrian camp and carried off what was left. They took so much that a large sack of flour and 2 large sacks of barley sold for almost nothing, just as the Lord had promised. The king of Israel had put his chief officer in charge of the gate, but he died when the people trampled him as they rushed out of the city. Earlier, when the king was at Elisha's house, Elisha had told him that flour or barley would sell for almost nothing. But the officer refused to believe that even the Lord could do that. So Elisha warned him that he would see it happen, but would not eat any of the food. And that's exactly what happened. The officer was trampled to death. Elisha told the woman whose son he had brought back to life, "The Lord has warned that there will be no food here for 7 years. Take your family and go live somewhere else for a while." The woman did exactly what Elisha had said and went to live in Philistine territory. She and her family lived there 7 years. Then she returned to Israel and immediately begged the king to give back her house and property. Meanwhile, the king was asking Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, about the amazing things Elisha had been doing. While Gehazi was telling him that Elisha had brought a dead boy back to life, the woman and her son arrived. "Here's the boy, your majesty," Gehazi said, "and this is his mother." The king asked the woman to tell her story, and she told him everything that had happened. He then said to one of his officials, "I want you to make sure that this woman gets back everything that belonged to her, including the money her crops have made since the day she left for Israel." Sometime later, Elisha went to the capital city of Damascus to visit King Ben-Hadad of Syria, who was sick. And when Ben-Hadad was told he was there, he said to Hazael, "Go meet with Elisha, the man of God, and get him to ask the Lord if I will get well, and take along a gift for him." Hazael left with 40 camel loads of the best things made in Damascus as a gift for Elisha. He found the prophet and said, "Your servant, King Ben-Hadad, wants to know if he will get well." "Tell him he will," Elisha said to Hazael. "But the Lord has already told me that Ben-Hadad will definitely die." Elisha stared at him until Hazael was embarrassed. Then Elisha began crying. "Sir, why are you crying?" Hazael asked. Elisha answered, "Because I know the terrible things you will do to the people of Israel. You will burn down their walled cities and slaughter their young men. You will even crush the heads of their babies and rip open their pregnant women." "How could I ever do anything like that?" Hazael replied. "I'm only a servant and don't have that kind of power." "Hazael, the Lord has told me that you will be the next king of Syria." Hazael went back to Ben-Hadad and told him, "Elisha said that you will get well." But the very next day, Hazael got a thick blanket. He soaked it in water and held it over Ben-Hadad's face until he died. Hazael then became king. Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat, became king of Judah in Joram's 5th year as king of Israel, while Jehoshaphat was still king of Judah. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he ruled 8 years from Jerusalem. Jehoram disobeyed the Lord by doing wrong. He married Ahab's daughter and was as sinful as Ahab's family and the kings of Israel. But the Lord refused to destroy Judah because he had promised his servant David that someone from his family would always rule in Judah. While Jehoram was king, the people of Edom rebelled and chose their own king. So Jehoram and his cavalry marched to Zer, where the Edomite army surrounded him and his commanders. During the night, he attacked the Edomites, but he was defeated, and his troops escaped to their homes. Judah was never able to regain control of Edom. Even the town of Libna rebelled at that time. Everything else Jehoram did while he was king is written in the history of the kings of Judah. Jehoram died and was buried beside his ancestors in Jerusalem. His son Ahaziah then became king. Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, became king of Judah in the 12th year of Joram's rule in Israel. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he ruled from Jerusalem for only 1 year. His mother was Athaliah, a granddaughter of King Omri of Israel. Since Ahaziah was related to Ahab's family, he acted just like them and disobeyed the Lord by doing wrong. Ahaziah went with King Joram of Israel to attack King Hazael and the Syrian troops at Ramoth in Gilead. Joram was wounded in that battle, so he went to the town of Jezreel to recover. Ahaziah went there to visit him. Okay, lots happened today in the reading, but we have the story of Naaman, who is the commander of the Aramean army. And Naaman, who has leprosy, comes to Israel looking for a cure. And this distresses the king of Israel, who thinks that Naaman is coming to fight and start a war, because the king of Israel knows that only God can cure his leprosy. But we have the prophet Elisha, who intervenes and refocuses the power of healing onto God. And then there's such an interesting interaction today with Naaman being instructed to dip in the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River is not the cleanest water you've ever seen in your life. We go there every year in Israel. Baptisms are done. This is where Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, his cousin. And Naaman has just a very honest response. And it is, aren't there cleaner waters than the Jordan? Aren't there better waters for me to go in and dip in than the dirty old Jordan? Isn't it just like us to help God out? And then as the story continues, we have the continuation of Elisha calling on the power of God, and the miraculous continues to happen. And what we should recognize is that these miracles are causing people to witness the power of God. It's how God shows himself to his people through his power. We see these different people groups worshiping these different gods, calling on the god of Baal, calling on the god of Molech. And they go through all of the rituals, the dances, the songs, the begging, the pleading. And obviously, nothing happens. But as we see today, Elisha, who asked God for a double portion of what he witnessed from Elijah, we see this playing out in our reading. So Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your power. Thank you, God, that you are all powerful. You are capable of the miraculous still today. Because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We love you and we worship you. May our lives be a reflection of your greatness, of your power, and your faithfulness. I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that's home base, that's the website, that's the free app. Let's talk about the long walk. Coming up in just a few days. Get out and join us. Lace up your shoes. If it's not too hot, grab your water. Stay hydrated and get out and walk and be alone with God in his creation. Or walk with a friend or a family member. And just be intentional. Make some time. You see the world differently when you're intentional, and when you see it through the eyes of the Creator, knowing he is with you and he is intentionally longing to be in relationship with you. This is the point, to get out, allow him to speak to your heart. Speaking of heart, sometimes people download Brian Harden's Heart album, It's a collection of songs and prayers, really just a time of repentance and reflection. So if you would like a little accompany music on your journey, you can get that. It's available in the DAB store. Join us July the 7th. And as we get closer, we will talk about the place to put your pictures and your videos for the community to enjoy together. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or you can utilize the app, hit the give icon up at the top right hand corner, and lastly, look for give on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, if you'd like to share what you believe God has answered through the prayers of this community, several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164, that is the number for chronological. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. Or if you're utilizing the app, again, hit the red circle button up at the top right-ish hand section. When you are finished, hit the little red microphone, and then right below that, hit the chronological icon, and it will get to the right place. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Father, I lift up Renee from Florida on her vacation. Would you keep her safe from needing any medical help, and would you bless her with a refreshing time, a fun time, just to not think about drains and tumors and cancer. Would you just really give her an emotional and mental and spiritual break and blessing? I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Hey, my incredible DABC fam. This is KSD. Just want to lift up a couple of our DABCers. Father, I come on behalf of our dear sister, Kristen, a.k.a. Christ in Me, who is standing in the gap and battling for the reconciliation of her sister and all parties involved in her family. Lord, you know where the fallout is. You know where the breakdown is. You know all of the history behind the dissension that has taken place. Lord, will you please speak to the hearts of every family member, specifically her sister, and let, Lord, a healing take place. Let there be forgiveness. Let there be repentance, Lord. Let there be confession about where there has been a missing of the mark, Lord. But I pray that restoration and revival would happen for this family, even now, in Jesus' name. And for our sister Bree in Louisiana, God, we thank you that Bree is at her wit's end and she's run out of answers, because now that gives you the place to begin and do what only you can do. So Lord, will you help Bree to get in that secret place with you and stay there, camp out there. And then Lord, that gives you the room to move in her husband. You know what has caused him to check out in the marriage. You know where he stands spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. You know what's taking place with all of the breakdown. Now, God, would you bind up the enemy, cast him out, so that there can be healing for this couple and this marriage can live again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, family. This is your sister Kim in Kentucky. It is Tuesday the 30th, and I just wanted to give you all an update about my granddaughter, Amari. I thank each and every one of you that has prayed for her. I've heard several call her name out on the prayer line, and I appreciate everyone. I just seen her covered in a blanket of prayers, and the enemy's fiery dart could not penetrate that blanket. She came through surgery well. They removed her left kidney. The tumor was contained to the kidney. The lymph nodes and blood vessel and ureter around the kidney were all clear of any tumor, any cancer cells. There's one final test. They do a molecular cell test on the cancer cells, and it determines if she will need chemotherapy or not. So we're still praying for those tests to come back low risk, and then no chemotherapy will be needed. She'll be monitored for 5 years is the recommendation, but no chemotherapy. And just as a side note, Mark, the baby doctor, I don't know exactly if you're a pediatrician or you deliver babies, but I'm a pediatrician in Eastern Kentucky, and I just want you to know you have a comrade praying along with you. So again, I appreciate all your prayers, and I will give another update when God answers this last prayer and no chemotherapy will be needed. Thank you, family. Blessings.